Welcome to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast, where we explore the fundamental abilities and insights that make us better humans. Here's your host, Christina Eanes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Essential Skills for Humaning. I'm your host, Christina Eanes. And for today's episode, Meg Gluckman is joining us to talk about life quakes and focusing on the future, which I'm very curious about. Welcome, Meg.
Thank you, Christina. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, before we jump into the topics at hand, can you share a little bit about your background with our listeners?
Sure thing. I am coming to you from the Pacific Northwest. I live on an island in Puget Sound, and I've got two kiddos, and I've been divorced for 7 years, which is key to my knowledge about this topic and what I am excited to share with you today. I'm kind of a Jill of all trades when I look back over my career history. I've done a bunch of different things. I was a postpartum doula for a while. I was an engineer, a solar engineer. I started and ran a hummus company for quite a while. I ran a retreat center. And then most recently, for the last few years, I've been a coach for parents going through divorce and navigating co-parenting afterwards.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's definitely needed. Testing myself many years ago. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah.
Well, so let's start with life quakes. First off, what are those?
Oh my gosh, I love life quakes. I love the name of it, right? Because we essentially, like, the name says it all. And I learned about life quakes from author Bruce Feller. Mm-hmm. And he wrote a book called Life in the Transitions. Mm-hmm. And he essentially was going through a personal crisis himself and decided he was going to just travel across the country and interview other people who had gone through major personal crises and kind of come out of it, right? That they had found their way out and created a life that they love afterwards. Mm. That was what he wanted to learn from everyone. So he interviewed like over 100 people, and then he looked at all of their stories and tried to find patterns. Mm-hmm. And that's how he came up with this term, life quakes. And I'll just share with you his definition, because I think it's so well worded, much better than I could just say myself. So he defines a life quake as a forceful burst of change in one's life that leads to a period of upheaval, transition, and renewal. Those are like three key areas: upheaval, transition, and renewal. And they are disturbances that initiate a period of deep self-reflection and personal reevaluation. All right. Mm-hmm. So what I love about this is that he differentiates it, life quakes, from other things in our life that just kind of disrupt our status quo, right? Mm-hmm. So, and he calls those disruptors. The idea being, there's things that happen to us, like we might lose a job, we might even lose a loved one, we might even end a relationship, and it shakes up our life, but it doesn't really trigger us into this period of deep self-reflection, right? It doesn't trigger major upheaval and transition and renewal, right? So what's interesting is that we can't say just because someone ended a relationship or someone got divorced or someone lost someone they love that it was a life quake, right? For some folks, it will be, and for some folks, it won't be. Some folks, it'll be a minor thing. And I see this with folks going through divorce too, that there's folks that navigate through divorce that it's annoying. There's sadness. There's some grief that comes with it, but they're able to navigate it pretty smoothly. And then for other people, it's like their identity was totally thrown out the window and they're starting from scratch.
Ooh, that kind of reminds me of maybe perhaps these are indicative of life quakes, is that moment where almost like everything changes. Yeah. Like you see the world completely different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be a life quake then.
Yeah. Yeah. Another way I've heard it described is like, imagine that you have a vision board for your life, right? Mm-hmm. Like you have, and some of it's conscious, like, oh, you know, I want my career to go this way, or I want to have a family, right? Some of it's unconscious, mm-hmm. or subconscious, I guess you might say, which is like, I just want to be well taken care of when I'm old. Like, this mm-hmm. is what retirement's going to look like, or this is what my relationship with my friends is going to be like, or this is my purpose for being here. And it's almost like somebody just like whacked it right off the wall, right? Like that yeah. vision board just went flying and now it's like scattered all over the ground. And you're like, well, what now?
Yeah.
Right.
Wow. Yeah. So before we get into how to turn these events into, for lack of a better term, opportunities, you know, or yeah. renewal, mm-hmm. What would be some examples maybe that we yeah. could dive into?
Well, the first example I think of is actually from back with my work as a postpartum doula. So if you're mm-hmm. not familiar with the term postpartum doula, these are folks that will come in to assist a family when a new baby has been born. They are not birth doulas, so they're not at the birth of the baby, but they come in the hours and days and weeks after the birth to help, especially new parents where it's their mm. first child, adjust to life with a newborn. Right. And they talk about postpartum healing and infant development, how to change diapers, how to feed, like what a different cry means. Right. Like
yeah.
all these different things. And I think that's the first time that I really started seeing people going through life quakes. Mm. Right. Sometimes birth, either because it's traumatic or because it just didn't go how we thought it was going to go, or because we didn't think that this is what parenting was going to actually look like, mm-hmm. can really shake us up.
Absolutely.
Right? We
yeah.
can really question who we are anymore. And especially when we can't do things that we used to be able to do, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's as simple as like completing sentences. In our mind.
Going or to like the bathroom by yourself.
Going to the bathroom by ourselves. Or like having a conversation, right? Having a conversation mm-hmm. with another adult where you can have a full stream of consciousness and like you can't do that anymore. Or uh-huh. sleeping for more than 4 hours at a time, right? Like
yeah.
if you've always been able to sleep however much you want to sleep and suddenly you're really dealing with 2 hour cat naps, you know, for multiple mm-hmm. nights at changes everything up. So that's one great example. The other one that I also deal with is folks going through a divorce where, mm-hmm. especially if it's involuntary, right? Mm-hmm. So Bruce Feller talks about voluntary earth life quakes and involuntary life quakes. So
yeah.
You like the becoming a new parent might be a voluntary life quake, right? Like you might have been the one who decided, yeah, I want to become a parent. Mm-hmm. I want to have a baby, right? And then it still happens. Like it still like blows up for you versus you might not be the one choosing your divorce. Mm-hmm. Like somebody else might choose it and it might be really sudden for you, right? Often in yeah. a divorce, like, one party has been thinking about it for a whole lot longer than the other.
Years.
Years. Sorry. Yeah. I mean, literally, I've heard yeah. people talk about decades of thinking mm-hmm. about it, right? And then to the other person, it could be sudden. Like, yeah. where is this coming from, right? Yeah. And so, and again, that's like a beautiful example of like, for one party, it might not be a life quake because they've actually been thinking about it for so long versus the other, and they've probably been starting to formulate a vision about what their future will look like. But for the other person where it's very sudden, it could mm-hmm. turn into that life quake for them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the distinction between the voluntary and the involuntary, because even stuff mm-hmm. that, you know, like childbirth or yeah. having children or like new career, things that we choose for ourselves can result in huge upheaval that changes who we are.
Yes.
Oh, there's so much here to dig into. And you have me so reflecting right now on like, at first I thought a previous divorce was a life quake. But now that I realize that that's a, for me, that was a result of a life quake from watching my father pass from cancer over 5 years. So, wow, big like world opening up. I'm sure the listeners and viewers are thinking, how does this relate to my life? So let's say we have one or we're in the midst of one.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, let me just normalize that first, which is to say that Bruce's research really found that all of us are going to go through like 3 to 5 of these on average.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Throughout the course of our life. So it is normal to be in it. And I think that's what's so powerful about having the language of naming this, because so many of us will be going through this experience and feel like something's wrong with us, right? Like we should be able to, especially like, we'll give the example of having a new baby. If you've seen your friend do it or your sister do it or your neighbor, and they look like they handle it just fine and they're just like rolling with everything and you're struggling, it can feel like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah. Right?
Versus the reality of it being, this is a human experience and we're all going to experience this multiple times during our life.
Yeah.
Right.
And two, what we see with others, we may not see them in their moments of, I don't know how I'm going to get through the next hour. Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. That's so true too.
So,
right.
So we don't necessarily witness that, but, but let's say, so we're in this normal human event that we're all experiencing, 3 to 5 times in our life.
Yeah.
What do we do to turn it into, I almost want to call it, I've heard the term post-traumatic growth.
Yeah.
What do we do to turn it into that period of renewal and growth?
Well, I think first is to just acknowledge that there's different phases to your time post-life quake. Okay. So Bruce is really good about dividing it up into these 3 distinct phases, which I just love his language of, which is the long goodbye, the messy middle, and new beginnings.
Oh,
okay. So the long goodbye, for me, the way that I think about that is our grief process, right? Something that we didn't want to happen, or something we weren't expecting, or something that really didn't go the way that we thought it was going to go. We have grief about it. And that can look like, I mean, grief is this beautiful umbrella kind of word for a whole bunch of different emotions that come up. Right. Yeah. But that can look like, you know, anger, frustration, sadness, regret, humiliation, and fear, a lot of fear, right?
Yeah.
And when we think about like that long goodbye and the time that we spend grieving, it's not just grieving what was, right? Often like in a marriage ending, we might grieve, you know, how it was good in the beginning or all these other times when it was great. There's that kind of grieving, but then there's also the grieving, like I talked about with the vision board getting swiped off the wall. There's the grieving of the future we thought we were going to have, right? And all of that is a normal, natural, necessary process. Yeah. Like we can't rush ourselves through the long goodbye to that end, right? And then what we get into, and I'll talk a little bit more about grief and how it shows up over time, right? But after we've been almost entirely in the long goodbye or our grief process, then we move into the messy middle, which is like, well, what then? Right? Like, what am I going to do now? And this is where we start kind of dreaming or investigating or getting curious or trying some new things. And that might be trying on different identities a little bit. It might be just stepping into what seems like the next logical thing to do. You know, for some folks, that I know that going through divorce, like they might be at some point like, well, I guess I'm supposed to try dating. And so they like experiment with like dating again and so forth. Mm-hmm. But typically it's a very messy middle, just as the words say, right? It's like, it's unstable. You feel still kind of unmoored. You don't mm-hmm. have this like clear future vision all planned out. But you're not in full on grief all the time anymore for kind of the past, right? Doesn't mean that the grief doesn't still show up. And I like to just emphasize that to folks that our human brain is so amazing in that we can switch from one moment of grieving the past or grieving something that we've lost, and in the next moment, making plans for the future.
Yeah.
And sometimes I see folks want to be totally done with grieving. Like, well, once I get done with grieving, then I'll plan for the future. And that's just like not how we function, right? A colleague of mine, and I don't know if she made up this term or she heard it from somewhere else, but it's called the dual processing theory of grief, mm-hmm. which is that it actually is helpful to us when we're in a grieving process to give ourselves concrete time, like focus time, where we are allowing ourselves to grieve mm-hmm. and then taking a break and focusing on something else. You know, whether it's like, okay, now I'm with my friends for a little bit and I'm not going to focus on grieving my marriage, or I'm not going to focus on grieving my, you know, relative that passed or so forth. That is actually healthy and helpful to us. And so as we move into this messy middle, there's still going to be times where we are like the grief comes up for us. And that mm-hmm. is normal. It doesn't mean we've like slipped back. It doesn't mean we're not going in the right order. That's totally human.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I actually like an example came to mind when I was thinking about this was I had been divorced for a while. I mean, months since the process had ended and so forth. And I went home to visit my parents for the first time since the divorce had ended. And they still had my wedding picture up on their wall. Right. And so as soon as I saw it, it was like, whew. Like, all right, I need a little more time to like work on this. And mom, can you please take that off the wall?
Yes.
Wow. But right. So it's normal that there's still going to be times that we're activated, that grief is activated.
Oh, absolutely.
But
a dream,
then
something that we get, remember.
Dreams,
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or a place, you know, that we went mm-hmm. to. Or a song or a smell.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be any kind of sensory thing. Absolutely. Yeah. And then from the messy middle, right, that's when we start kind of finding some footing and getting into our new beginnings, which is kind of like we're stepping into that new version of us after this whole transformation process.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and things get a little less messy, but we're humans, so there's still some mess.
There's still some mess, but we start to feel like the ground under us is just a little more solid.
Yes.
That's what feels different. Yeah.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. let's take a quick commercial break, and then we'll dive further into this, in particular, focusing on the future after the break.
Transform your organization with EANS Training. Our premier interpersonal skills training programs are tailored to enhance your organization's employees in communication, emotional intelligence, leadership, and more. We have a catalog of expert-led courses designed to meet the dynamic needs of today's workforce. With highly engaging in-person, hybrid, and remote sessions, we can help elevate your organization's performance and success. Learn more at EANSTraining.com.
Welcome back. And I know one of the things, Meg, that you have mentioned is it's important to focus on the future or look to the future. Can you share a little bit about that and how it relates to life quakes?
Yeah. I think my biggest recommendation for folks, especially when they're in the messy middle, in order to more orient towards the future is to look for where they have agency in their life. Mm. Oftentimes, when we're still kind of stuck looking backwards, you know, especially if we're feeling like we need to blame someone or we're feeling a lot of guilt or shame about the past, we're not feeling very empowered about our future. And so I often recommend folks that let's get you feeling more empowered about the future by finding where you have agency. And agency is another word that I like to use a definition for, because I don't think we don't use it on a very regular basis in our lives. But so the definition that I share is agency is a sense of control that you feel in your life. It's your capacity to influence your own thoughts and behavior and your faith in your ability to handle a wide range of situations. All right.
Yeah.
I think of your agency as that your sense of agency helps you to be psychologically stable and yet flexible. And you're really feeling like in your power when you're feeling like you have agency.
Yeah.
And so often with my clients, I will take them through kind of like a three-step exercise, or ask them these three questions in order for them to tap into agency so that they can focus more on the future than on the past. So can I share those with you? Yeah. So the first one is reflecting on how you've been able to handle everything up to this point in your life. Right? So often we will look at something and be like, I don't know how I'm going to be able to handle that. Right? Whether it's like life after divorce or like dealing with an infant 24 hours a day, right? Or like, how am I going to be able to do this? Right?
Yeah.
And grounding ourselves on like, okay, well, tell me about other hard times. When were you able, like, how have you been able to overcome hard times? How have you been able to just figure everything out? Because the reality is, if you are here today with us, like, you have figured it all out.
Yeah.
It might not have been pretty, right? Like you were mentioning, like, we're all humans. Might not have been pretty, but like, you figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, you have the power to be able to figure this out. Yeah. So that's the first question I ask them. And then the second thing I do is I invite them to tell me what their story is right now about what's happening in their life. And the first time that they tell that story, right, oftentimes there will come up a lot of disempowered speech, right? Like, this is happening to me. This is out of my control. I can't do this because so-and-so won't do that, like that kind of speech. And then I invite them to reframe it as a heroic story, right? Where they are the hero in the story, and they are on, you know, this is their journey. This is the obstacles they are overcoming. This is how they are figuring things out. So both stories are totally true, right? I'm not asking them to like paint a picture of like, oh, this is the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life. Like, we're not there. We're not there right now. But they can say like, I'm really resourceful. Like, I reached out to this person. When I had this question, I reached out to this person and I got an answer. When I needed support on this, I figured this out. Right. And we just change it from a unintentional or default story that they're telling about their current experience into a very intentional story. And what happens is in that telling, we also shift the focus and we are focusing more automatically on the future. Like, I am figuring things out for the future, right?
Yeah.
And then the third thing I invite them to do is to get very concrete and say, what is one small decision I can make today? This is so important in feeling like we have agency, that we have control over our lives, especially if the narrative that we have running right now is that somebody else has more control over our lives than we do, which when I'm working with folks during divorce, often it's the ex, right? They, because they're doing X, Y, and Z, I can't do what I want to do. And so we just keep coming back to like, what's one small decision that you actually have power over and that you can make today? And then again, that just has them focused on the future, right? Decision-making is about being able to move forward into the future.
I love it. So one, that helps people be more focused on moving through. A question for you. I know we talked about making sure that the long goodbye, you know, making sure that you're feeling your grief. What about those who tend to move too quickly into focusing on the future and is a way of avoiding their long goodbye, we'll call it, right, the stage. Any thoughts on that to slow it down?
Yeah. The first thought that came to mind for me was like, well, that'll just bite you in the behind at some point. So you'll know if you move
it will.
Through it all too fast. Yes. I mean, because what I often see with folks that move through it too fast is that they repeat patterns that they've done in the past, right? Because
over
they haven't over and over and over again. So it really takes someone deciding that they want to be done with whatever that pattern is that isn't serving them. So until they decide that they really want to be done with it, there's nothing anybody else can do. But as a recommendation, if someone is feeling like, I don't want to repeat, you know, if you've gone through multiple relationships and they're not been, they haven't been satisfying, or they have felt there's some level of toxicity that you have felt in them, then pausing and going through this process more slowly is going to give you a lot of time for more self-reflection. And what we say is, you know, self-reflection leads to self-awareness. Self-awareness leads to self-compassion. Self-compassion leads to self-love. And then if you're going into new relationships with a whole lot more self-love, that's a whole different ballgame, right?
Yeah. To be whole before we go into another relationship.
Yeah.
Nice.
Ideally.
ideally, yes. Now, I know people are going to want to know more. So can you share a little bit about your products and or services or any additional resources you want people to know about?
Sure thing. So I work one-on-one with folks, parents that are going through divorce or after divorce and are needing some more support, especially around co-parenting. And the best resource I have is a podcast as well. My podcast is called Welcome to the Other Side. And it's specifically for parents that have gone to the other side of the divorce river and are still struggling with co-parenting or still kind of feeling a little bit lost. And so I'd highly recommend that. And if folks like this kind of stuff, this is what I talk about over there too.
I love it. And we will make sure and put links to that in the episode description so that people can easily access them.
Thank you.
Sure. Okay. What is your final piece of advice?
My final piece of advice is to get support. And I think a lot of folks going through life quakes feel, you know, either overwhelmed, but even more often I hear like a sense of shame, like this shouldn't be so hard for me. And my recommendation is that is the time to reach out and build a, what a friend of mine calls a lush ecosystem of support for yourself. Right. So that might mean this is the time to ask, you know, your mother-in-law to help for a little bit. I'm thinking of the new baby situation. Or this is a time to say to a friend, can we walk every Tuesday at noon so that I have a little more support during this time? I have a friend who set up a little Facebook group for herself and invited six friends to be a part of that Facebook group and said, I'm going through a really hard time right now. I would really appreciate if everybody in like, If you self-select to stay in here, would post something, you know, once a week in here, just like cheering me on. Like, can you do that for me? And of course, people are like, of course I can do that for you. Like, yeah, of course I want to do that, right? And And then, of course, there's plenty of help out there, either through therapists or coaches, to like give you more support through this whole thing. Just because we all as humans are going to go through this during our lives does not mean we have to go through it alone, does not mean we have to go through it unsupported.
Wise words. We need that support. And you can actually be part of that support process, right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Meg.
Thank you so much for having me, Christina. Love this conversation.
Oh.
Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Skills for Humaning podcast. We hope you've gained valuable insights to enhance your journey as a human being. Remember, practice makes progress. Keep honing those essential skills. And until next time, keep being the best version of yourself. For more resources, visit eanstraining.com.